Betting on sports can be hard, but hiring Morgan & Morgan is easy. Morgan & Morgan is America's largest injury law firm. They have over 100 offices nationwide and more than 1,000 lawyers. Their fee is free unless they win. For more information, go to forthepeople.com/bestbets or dial pound law, pound 529 from your cell phone. That's forthepeople.com/bestbets. This is a paid advertisement.
The numbers told the story, they always do.
It's one of those idiots who believe in analytics.
This is a numbers game with Gil Alexander on VSiN.
Friday edition of A Numbers Game here on VSiN. Matt Brown in for Gil Alexander. Worry not, Gil will be back in on Monday. Thank you for being here and allowing me in this seat for the last 5 days. Kelly Bidlin alongside. Great show. We're going to talk some soccer. Well, actually, Paul Carr's going to talk some soccer. I'm going to ask some questions. I took a few notes. And that's basically how we're going to go with that. And
then there you go.
Yeah, and then we'll talk some horse racing with Chris Felica. And if we have some time after that, get his college football thoughts as well. And we will run through each and every NFL game, give you our thoughts on bets we have in the account, some leans we might have, any games that we absolutely hate along the way.
That's right. Absolutely. I'm also enjoying the idea of you taking the vast majority of the segment up with Chris to talk Breeders' Cup. I'm pretty certain we're going to get more college football in than Matt just teased.
Listen, look.
I don't know if we'll have enough time. I've got so many Breeders' Cup questions.
Look, we talked to Samich yesterday for at least three quarters of a segment about.
These dudes are passionate. That's true.
If he's betting multiple races, then it's kind of like he's got to talk about multiple horses per race. We don't know how long this could go.
That's a good point. Mike went a little bit longer yesterday.
Yeah, because there were three different races, and then you're talking about multiple horses throughout those three different races.
Yeah, you're right.
I'm just saying there are a lot of people out there who are excited about the Breeders' Cup this week, and we're going to give them. This was asked for by the people.
That's true. Was asked for by the people. We got it booked. We even got a VSiN betting guide out for the Breeders' Cup. So go check that out now, right now.
Head on over to VSiN.com and get that Breeders' Cup betting guide that obviously I've read already. Because you can tell right there that I've read it already. I mean, Kelly, we're coming off of a game last night. Coming here, if anything, we're but honest and transparent. I get the under home, lose on the Texans, and I gotta admit, coming out of this one, I don't really feel bad about the bet all that much. I guess the only thing that I do feel bad about in coming out of this one is I guess I didn't really, and I was texting you during the game, I guess I really didn't factor in what seems to be a little bit of the sophomore slump and regression for CJ Stroud as much as maybe I should have, but it was very apparent last night. Sure, the offensive line was letting these guys through, but it was the decision-making when he was getting pressured and the things he was doing when he was getting pressured that was really concerning to me, and it was on five different occasions he just started running backwards, which is a horrible thing to do, which led to a longer field goal that ends up getting missed on one of those third downs in which, again, he gets pressured. And instead of just, okay, you know what, nothing's going to happen on this play, or trying to step up and see anything, he starts running backwards and ends up losing another 8, 9, 10, 11 yards here and there along the way. And then also, you know, I guess for me, that I really came across. Yeah, I get it, guys. I understand. He was under duress, sacked 8 times, all those things. There were throws to be made in this game, and C.J. Stroud did not make those throws.
Oh, he missed them. Yeah, this is where, yes, I know we want to talk about a sophomore slump. He's still young. He's still going to develop. But, man, I hold him in such high regard already that, like, those are throws that I've seen him make. I saw him make all last year in route to a great Rookie of the Year campaign. I think what you're talking about, it's a mix of offensive line and him seeming to not be able to handle the pressure all that well. And it's, I mean, even the number of carries, 8 carries last night, that's more than he's ever had in his NFL career. Check that real quick. That is 2 more than he's ever had in his NFL career. So even, you know, with these quarterbacks, they start feeling that pressure as it adds up throughout the game. It's okay, now I'm seeing a guy break through. I got to, get off this one read and just take off. And that was what a little bit more was happening last night too. But you're right. We haven't factored in that well. And I don't know what to make of this team, you know, when we look ahead, when they're supposed to get a lot more healthy.
I mean, a couple of missed field goals as well. Then you also have this is not just a pile on CJ Stroud show. What I will say, 11 of 30, 191 yards, misses Mechie wide open, would have moonwalked into the end zone. Just a bunch of misses from CJ Stroud that ended up making a difference in this game. Now, sure, were they fortunate that you get, what is up with these? We see this at least two or three times a year. Why do people not want to carry the ball across the goal line? What is it with it? Like, you see Malachi Corley, you've seen it by now, but like Malachi Corley gets to the goal line, ends up dropping it before he crosses the goal line. The ball just slowly rolls out the back of the end zone. It ends up being a touchback. We see this two or three times a year, and every single time I'm going, most times people cannot wait to celebrate. They want to over-celebrate. Yeah. They've got something already planned. They've been, literally before the game starts, they're going, if I score, I'm going to do this.
But that's the problem. He's already thinking about that, right? He's thinking about that before he's fully into the end zone. That's why it happens.
We see this multiple times a year.
It's wild.
And every single time we go, dude, you just hold on to the ball for one more step. Is that like a flex or something that you just drop at the second you cross the goal line? Is that kind of what that is?
I think it maybe kind of used to be, actually, and that's how some of this started. But like, yeah. To your point, it's crazy because I've gotten so used to it now. We see it so often. I don't know about you. My mind immediately went to, I was like, okay, they're going to go review this. I'm pretty sure he dropped the ball early. Like, okay, let me get the replay. But I'm pretty sure in real time he dropped it early, was not across the goal line. But do we have a camera angle of where the ball went, right? And then it was very impressive that they did to me. I was like, that camera guy down on the other end zone had it tightened up enough that he actually got it rolling out the back.
And it did. I mean, it took like a full 5 minutes for the ball to roll out the back.
It was slowly going
and then finally makes it out the back. And we can't go without saying what happened last night with Garrett Wilson was a huge, massive, massive turning point in this game. And when I say what happened, not only the catch, but we also get the phantom, in my opinion, and according to the broadcasters as well and several of the people online, you get the phantom illegal contact called on Stingley, which that was a 4th-and-1. It would have been a turnover on downs. The Texans would have gotten the ball back with the lead at 13-10. So it was just a massive, massive difference in this game. And I should say at 10-7. And it was a massive difference in this game. And so they replay it multiple different times. You can have your hands on the player for 5 yards, and it was about 4 yards when Stingley had his hands all over him. And then after that, it seemed pretty clean after that. Instead, they get an automatic first down and then turn what would have been a turnover on downs into one of the better catches basically we've ever seen in the NFL.
Yeah, real quick, I don't know if I'm going there yet. Like, I feel like we're doing a lot of that this morning. You're like, this is the best catch I've ever. It was really good. I've seen better.
I said one of the best.
One of the better. That part was huge. I think just going back to the first half real quick, too, it felt like going into halftime even, that the Texans had not done enough to kind of put this game away when the Jets, all they had done in the first half was shoot themselves in the foot over and over again, right? We talked about Corlin dropping the ball early before scoring, but nothing else was working either. And that rest of that half, the Jets were a disaster, got new life in the second half because of this stuff, and go on and win that ball game.
Yeah, nobody cares about in-game bets, but I think it is important to kind of bring up, since we are talking about how you go about betting and trying to be a better bettor, Kelly, is just so... I threw some quick money in, quick on the trigger on the Jets when it looked like, I guess he was just hamming it up, but it looked like a serious injury for Stroud, right? He steps up in the pocket, it looked like something happened to his ankle, foot, back of the heel, whatever it was or something. And then he's laying face down on the turf for like a while, right? And not getting up. And then, you're sitting there and you get Kirk Herbstreit, you're like, oh no, Stroud down, ball on, stuff like that. I'm breaking my fingers to try to get it because the way they were playing anyway, I was like, okay, this game is over. Jets are winning this game for sure. You know, and then he ends up coming back in,
Those are tough because I think I was in the same mode in this. You're right. Maybe this is good to talk about from a betting standpoint. Not all of these are created equal, right? They're not all the same. For me, that was one of those, okay, I had the app pulled up. That's probably something you should always do, right? At least pull up the apps. You don't need to make a bet, but pull up the apps, make sure you're ready to go. I was waiting. I was like, okay, let me give it a minute. Let me see how he walks off the field, right, and how he reacts. Once he kind of had gotten up and gotten off the field, I put the phone down. I didn't think it was that big of a deal. I had the teaser. You had it. You were catching two. So was okay with it. But yeah, I hear you.
I was terrified mainly because I didn't like the bet anyway. Once the way that the game was playing out and how poorly he was playing, and then I'm like, oh, they're going to Davis Mills. Well, this game is definitely going to be over. Let's go to the Jets side of things real quick. I mean, look, they moved to 3-6. Aaron Rodgers does score, you know, multiple touchdowns in the second half. It looks a little bit better. The offense looks a little bit better. He hits Davante Adams on what was basically the dagger touchdown there at the end of the game. Everyone talking to see, you know, again, Kirk Herbstreit, that's what we're talking about. That's the timing. That's these guys and whatever. Did you take anything away from the Jets here in this one?
Yes and no. I mean, this is okay.
They were not handed the game. I will say this, but like there were fortunate events.
I just don't know if it's kind of the split of, oh boy, the Jets look a whole lot better, or like during portions of that second half, at least you could say, oh, the Jets look a whole lot better, right? Or you could just say this is how they're supposed to look with these star players that they brought in. I mean, Davante Adams, Garrett Wilson having big games should not be a surprise. This is what should happen. Mm-hmm. Now, can they do that consistently? Because they haven't done it yet. If they can turn this into a consistent factor where these wide receivers are actually having this big of games, it opens things up for Breece Hall on the ground. Yeah, this could turn into a different offense. I need to see more of it before I start believing in this team again.
So Aaron Rodgers throws the ball 32 times. 22 of those times went to either Adams or Wilson in this game. And like, it's probably the best strategy, though. You know, I mean, I get it. Lazard wasn't even in there. Lazard was inactive. But it's probably the best strategy. Like, just throw it to your two dudes who are awesome and just make them make plays.
Yeah, they're great. What's going to happen with Mike Williams? Like, what is this story? I mean,
they're going to ship him out of town.
I would think so, too. But, like, I can't believe it hasn't happened already.
Yeah, they're going to ship him out of town. He didn't play a ton of snaps last night either. I think they were making sure that he didn't get injured in this one so that they did have a piece to move. But at the end of the day,
I don't get that, though. Just don't play him then. Right? If you're going to move him, don't play him. You don't want him to get hurt.
Well, it's a little bit of a showcase, you know, as they say, with all of that. Yeah. At the end of the day, the Jets cover all numbers. The under gets home in this one. And of course, overs on Adams, Wilson, Tank Dell, everything like that. When we come back, hit some news items, look at the NBA, and then we'll get into our Larceny Bourbon play of the week.
VSiN, the Sports Betting Network.
Numbers game here on a Friday, ready to talk some NFL, maybe get some bets into the account. Got a few that I'm feeling good about. Yesterday we sat here, though, we earlier in the week we ranked our teams. Yesterday everyone on the face of the planet ranked their candies.
Yep.
You came in.
It was a big hit
with some fairly strong takes. Look because I like you.
Oh, what a guy.
Look what I've done.
Did you really have those hidden over there?
Look what I've done. Since you said you like all things Reese's.
The pumpkins are delicious. Pumpkins are great.
This is
straight up Reese's Pieces, E.T. style. These are real good.
All things Reese's. And then look at this thing.
Ooh, the Reese's White Ghost. Yeah, White Ghost edition. Yeah, all right. I'll have to try this one during the break.
See, look at that. So you got it. All things Reese's. You're welcome. That's what I'm here for.
Peanut butter enrobed in white cream. Why doesn't it just say white chocolate? Why is it white cream?
Oh, does it have to be a certain percent? Is it kind of like the difference between whiskey and bourbon or something? Or does it have to be like a certain percentage something to be actually considered chocolate?
Enrobed is kind of a creepy adjective, too.
Well, I guess because it's a ghost, it's robes.
Ah, he's wearing robes. I get it. Yeah. Good job, see? Reese's. You've done it again.
You're like, it was over my head, but you know, the joke was over my head. But yeah, it's fine. Like, I get what you were throwing down with all that. One thing I do want to mention before we get going here in the NFL, Kelly, we've got this Equinox special. We're going to go ahead and extend that until November the 3rd. So you have until Sunday, and what you're going to get is everything we do over at VSiN.com for less than $20 a month. So VSiN.com/subscribe. You're going to get the best bets. You're going to get the video. You're going to get the video over there on the website. You're going to get every single guide that we do. Of course, we talked about a ton of those. Everything that helps you out being a better better, and of course the picks page as well, so you can go in and keep up with everything that you hear here on the network from not only an expert standpoint but from the guests as well. This is the Equinox special. We had that on Monday. We extended it to Sunday. November the 3rd is when this ends. All less than $20 a month, so go in VSiN.com/subscribe. Dallas Cowboys and the Atlanta Falcons. This is currently sitting as a juiced 3 in favor of the Falcons. Your total sitting at 51.5. I understand why the total is as high as the total is, Kelly Bidlin, because you have a team in the Cowboys that looks like, yes, they might be getting a little bit of reinforcements on the defensive side, but still no Micah Parsons. We know Deshaun Lawrence already gone for the season. So there's a lot here to kind of unpack when it comes to this Dallas defense. How much difference is an addition in the secondary here and there going to make when you're not really getting any pressure on the quarterback, right? Because you can be the best cover corner on the face of the planet, but if the quarterback has all day to throw, you can only cover for so long, mm-hmm. right? And so that's why I'm not really jumping up and down about the additions in the secondary for the Cowboys, because I don't know where the quarterback pressure is going to come from. And as long as Micah Parsons isn't on the field, I'm not really worried about it too much.
Yeah, this was one of the games that I had circled to jump on after openers came out on Sunday. Total opened, what was it, like 48.5, 49, something like that. Shot out immediately up to 52. It's come back a little bit. I have not bet it yet, Matt. I'm going to be waiting here to see how this total moves throughout the weekend, because I think you're right. I'd be shocked if we don't see a lot of points in this game. I think it's going to be a lot of the same from what we've seen out of the Falcons the last couple weeks, and it's working through the air. It's working on the ground right now for that team. Like you're talking about with the injuries that Dallas has, and honestly, as inconsistent as that defense has been anyways, I think major advantage Atlanta on that side of the ball, even if you want to just consider it an Atlanta team total over, I think that could be a good look as well if you're questioning what the Cowboys might be able to do. But, man, I don't think the Falcons defense is going to get put up all that much resistance to the Cowboys either. Yep. Thought this was a little intriguing this week. It took this long to finally hit 3, and now, like you said, it's mainly juiced 3s around that we're looking like on Atlanta. That doesn't surprise me at all. Got me interested in that Atlanta side this week, but stayed away. I might end up on the over, though, here still. I think a 51, I don't know, is enough.
Yeah, if you're talking about a total, Dallas, weirdly, is one of the better teams for an over that there is out there, because Dak is the best hollow stats quarterback in the history of the NFL. You get down 17 points, and Dak Prescott is about to throw for 200 yards and a couple of touchdowns. Like, it happens every single time. You saw last week. You fantasy players know, because you were going up against CeeDee Lamb, you got crushed in garbage. It meant absolutely nothing, but CeeDee Lamb just goes out, gets a billion yards and a couple of touchdowns. You have the 25th rated pass defense EPA per play in Dallas going up against the 24th rated pass defense EPA per play with the Atlanta Falcons. Yeah, you can get at both of these teams through the air. And if you look, I know this Dallas team, this Dallas team has not been great on the offensive side, but Dak Prescott's not going to have to worry about being under pressure. This Atlanta team, 30th in the NFL in pressure rate.
So bad.
Kelly, they cannot get to the quarterback, and they don't blitz that much either. They just blitz at the 20th highest rate in the NFL. So I think Dak has a comfortable time back there, and I think CeeDee Lamb probably has another big day.
I don't think you could bet against that anymore. Mm-hmm. It's one of the most impressive things in the NFL to me. When this Cowboys team is this limited, and you know CeeDee Lamb's always the biggest threat, but then at times this year has basically been the only threat, and they still he racks up double-digit catches. It's crazy. No,
every single – seriously, like just all the time, this is what goes on with this team. So I love betting this team over. I think that's the only way that you can look to bet them. Dolphins and the Bills. Just talk about this game a little bit. With Paul Carr, said he kind of leans towards taking the points with the Dolphins up there at the Bills. We talked about the scariest team to bet against on the face of the planet, and I said yesterday that it was the Bills to me because of what Josh Allen brings to the table. Now, Amari Cooper is a bit banged up right now. We'll find out his game status a little bit later this morning, Kelly. That does at least give me a tiny bit of pause in wanting to do anything with the Bills here in this one, and specifically maybe even with the total. I understand that there was an emergence of Keon Coleman and certainly Dalton Kincaid. But I'm probably going to sit this one out. I'm curious as to what this Dolphins team looks like in week 2 with Tua back. And so with that, it gives me a little bit of pause.
Yeah, I played them in contest last week, the Dolphins side, thinking we were going to see a much better team with Tua. I think we're still getting there. I think we're going to see a better version still of this Dolphins team than what we've seen for the majority of the season with Tua out. I don't think what we saw last week is a good representation of what we're going to see with this team long term and to finish the season. I do expect them to be better this week. We talked about this a bit on Monday. I'm just going to stand by what I said on Monday. If this gets up to 7, I'm in on Miami. This is, it really hasn't moved around that 6 too much this week. Anything less than that, I got no interest in this one.
One thing I guess we can say, outside of just not getting really any pressure on the quarterback, that being said, Von Miller back out there for this Buffalo team after serving his suspension, you have one of the most well-rounded teams in all of the NFL. Like, if you want to go to, let's say, your stat of choice, your advanced stat of choice is DVOA. Well, overall, the fifth overall team DVOA, second offense DVOA, seventh defense DVOA. If you want to go to EPA, it is the third offense EPA. It is the seventh defense EPA. And net EPA, it is the number one overall team in the NFL. And then you go, they are no lower than 12th, which is just their pass defense success rate that has been given up in any advanced statistical category on either side of the ball, Kelly. I mean, like that. So this Bills team so far through the first half of the season has been by far the most well-rounded team there is, because they're getting it done on both sides, not just the offense, but the defense as well.
Yeah, it's been really impressive. I don't know if I was expecting their defense to be as good through injuries, right? It's been a lot of injuries this year, even before the season, through the season, that they've had to adjust to. Team's been very good. And when you have Josh Allen, to going back to your reason why you have him as the scariest team to bet against, it's just he's one of the highest upside players in the NFL on the offensive side of the ball.
Absolutely. We are looking Raiders and Bengals here. Raiders go to Cincinnati, a 7 to 7.5 point underdog. So we have actually gotten on the other side of 7 in a couple places now here in this one. 46.5. People are not worried about the T. Higgins thing, apparently, here in this one. I actually am. If you want to bet on the Cincinnati Bengals this year, you're betting on the offense, and that's the reason that you would back this team. And T. Higgins is a massive part of this offense. Look no further than last week, when they weren't really able to continue that success in the second half that they had in the first half, because the team goes, oh, okay, well, I'm not just going to let Ja'Marr Chase go for a billion yards in this game, so we'll take him out and see what you can do with all the rest of the team. And I understand Vegas has given you no reason to love them at all, Kelly, but I think this to me is a little scary at the field goal. I mean, at the touchdown, and certainly on the other side of a touchdown.
Okay. Higgins is big. I'm not going to say that's not big. I think this Raiders team is such a disaster, though, right now. This is a Bengals side that it was on the other side of 7, kind of came back to 7 yesterday when it was more, I think, the Higgins report coming out of him missing practice again. I think there was a little bit more Raiders money involved, kind of hit flat 7s. There's a lot of 7s out there still right now, but there's some 7.5s that have begun to pop. I might lay it at 7, probably play it as a contest play for me for Cincinnati, too. I know Cincinnati's burned a lot of us at different portions this year, but you take away that Patriots loss in week 1. I mean, you look at the schedule, fine, they lost against the Chiefs, they lost in overtime against the Panthers, all these other games, though, they lost against the Commanders, which at the time we thought might have been a bad loss, doesn't look nearly as bad now. These easier opponents, though, they've taken care of. You've got the Raiders coming into your building. I think this is a Bengals win. I think it's a Bengals win by margin.
Joe Burrow, the number one quarterback in the NFL, adjusted EPA per play. You go in, every single thing, you adjust for anything. You adjust for drops, you adjust for opponent, you adjust for, he is still number one overall in the NFL. One other quick note, Jacoby Myers is at least rumored to be maybe on the trade block out there, and with that gives me a little bit of pause too, backing the Raiders, because what if they ship him out of town or limit his snaps? Just something to think about if you want to back them. Chris Felica when we come back.
Numbers told the story, they always do.
It's one of those idiots who believe in analytics.
This is a numbers game with Gil Alexander on VSiN.
Hour number 2 of a numbers game here on VSiN. Matt Brown in for Gil Alexander. Do not worry, he will be back on Monday. You don't have to deal with me anymore, Kelly Bidlin. I know everyone will be happy to see me out of the seat. I know everyone will be happy to see me out of the seat. Gil will be back in here, but appreciate you guys letting me in here over the last week. I'm interested to see if we have any competing picks here from Mike Somich yesterday and our next guest, the Bear Chris Felica, joining us to talk not only the Breeders' Cup but some college football as well. Chris, how you doing, man?
I'm doing well. I'm sure we probably will have some competing thoughts, being that these races are super highly competitive, super even, with a bunch of really attractive looking prices. So I have a feeling we're both going to land on some long shots that probably aren't the same in a lot of these races, which is fine.
Yes, no, absolutely.
We both can be right in a different race and both come out ahead if we have the right prices.
So we have two races that you're looking at that are happening today. So if people want to go in and start getting their Breeders' Cup betting on today, Kelly, you can do that. The Breeders' Cup Juvenile Turf. And so this is just a 5-furlong race. What are we looking at here in this one?
Yeah, it's the first race today. I think it's at 2:30. I think it's like at 4 o'clock Eastern, I think is what it is. You have to go back and look. But it's the sixth race. And I really like the number two horse, Asterius, in here. I think she's going to be, or he's going to be right on the lead or right near to it. I don't understand, in looking at the form, why he is 9-2 and the three horse, Big Mojo, was 4-1. If you look a couple races back, Big Mojo did beat Asterius, but Big Mojo was 25-1 in the race. So kind of dismissed. And since that race, Asterius hasn't been beaten, won his two races. To get a little bit of a better price on Asterius today. And I think that was a little bit of a fluke. I don't know what to make of Ikoro Siege, the Japanese horse, who's a 7-2 favorite. I have a feeling that a lot of these Japanese horses are going to be a little bit overvalued in the line just because of what we saw from Forever Young in the Derby this year.
Chris, what kind of mindset do you have to change into when you're handicapping these sprints as compared to like your typical race that everyone is more accustomed to watching? Is there a big, big difference in the handicapping process?
There isn't a huge difference for me. The first thing I always like to do with the race is try and figure out whether it's a 5-furlong sprint, 6-furlong, a mile, classic distance, turf, dirt, is to figure out the pace of the race. Do I think the pace is going to be moderate? Do I think the pace is going to be slow? Do I think it's going to be very, very fast up front to set up from someone off the pace? And then I try and decipher like the class level of a lot of these horses. And I think with how I see this race flowing out, I think Asterius is going to sit a really, really nice trip in here.
Let's head to the dirt here. Another race that's happening today, the Breeders' Cup Juvenile. This will go a mile and a 16th. Who do you like here?
Yeah, this is a great juvenile. A lot of times in the Breeders' Cup, you get a lot of horses that maybe kind of peak at 2, and you can't really foresee them moving on to have a really good 3-year-old season. But this is a really good juvenile. The number one East Avenue is favored, but if you look at number one East Avenue and you look at number four Ferocious, the roles are kind of reversed today for these two horses. At that race at Keeneland, Ferocious was the horse in on the rail and had to deal with everything. East Avenue had the cushy outside spot. Ferocious was favored in that race. Now East Avenue is favored in this race. I just think the race here with East Avenue and the Baffert horse, I think there are a lot of horses that probably are going to be on the pace. And East Avenue is going to have to be special, I think, to win today. But I know some of the connections of Ferocious, and I know they are extremely confident. Ferocious won with one of the more impressive winners at the Saratoga meet as a juvenile this year, to be favored in all three races, kind of come up short in the race at Keeneland last out, and now have an opportunity to turn the tables. I think Ferocious can do it, and if there was one other horse I could play in here, it would be the number five horse, Jonathan's Way, who I think is a big time horse as well. But I think East Avenue, at a short price, as good as he looks on paper, is very, very susceptible to being beat today.
Let's head to tomorrow. And again, all these are just massive purse races. This one, $2 million purse, as we head a mile and 3/8, the Breeders' Cup Filly and Mare Turf Race.
This is a race where I don't know if Cinderella's Dream wants to get this distance. She looks good on paper. Her trainer is fantastic. But I think there are a lot of opportunities in here to potentially get a price. I look at the number 12 horse, Soprano, who is less than 3-1 at Keeneland in her last race. And now she's 20-1 on the morning line. The winner last time out, Freak. Maybe Soprano isn't good enough, but at 20-1, I will absolutely use her in my exotics. The horse I really like is the 5-horse, Didia, who, again, this horse was a beaten favorite last time out at Del Mar. It was 4-5, got beat by a horse that was double-digit odds. So Didia has kind of gotten her footing over this Del Mar turf course right now. And I think coming back here at 12-1 now, if you look at Didier's past performances, there's been a couple of times where she's been a little bit dismissed on the tote board. And she has run huge. I think her trainer has her spotted very well here with a nice outside-ish type post, but not too far out. Should get a couple trips. I think Didier has a really, really big chance to win this race 12-1.
talking to Chris Felica, helping us out here, not only handicapping some horse racing, but also we'll get to college football here in a bit. But the big one, this one's going to be on the big NBC $7 million purse here. And this one, these are a bunch of horses, Chris, that I think that people may not realize they've heard of before. You got Forever Young in this field. You've got Derma Sotogade. You've got Fierceness. You have Tappet Trice, Sierra Leone. So these are some horses I think that people might not even realize that they're familiar with.
Right, yeah, because Forever Young, after the Kentucky Derby, went back over to Japan and prepped and trained over there before coming back here. I will say this. Before the Belmont Stakes, a very good friend of mine, a very, very good handicapper and contest player, said to me, I think it was on Wednesday, he goes, you need to go on the air on Fox this weekend. You need to pick Dornick. I love Dornick in the Belmont. And what didn't I do? I did not go on the air. Dornick, at least he's even a as a price horse. And what did Dornick do? Dornick won the Belmont at a massive price. He sent me a note the other day saying, I love Newgate in the Classic on Saturday. So yeah, he has a pretty keen eye for picking these long shot horses. You get Bob Baffert with a horse that is kind of won the second race off of a layoff, ran really well in the first race off of a layoff, should probably improve. It's going to be a massive price. I will absolutely be using Newgate. I am against the favorite City of Troy here. I actually laid minus 250 or so on the field against City of Troy. I think they're kind of just taking a shot here. The City of Troy stud field fee is already established as a great turf horse. I think they're trying to get a, if he wins on dirt, his fee price goes through the roof. So I think they're taking a chance, kind of a no harm, no foul. If they run well, great. If they don't, so what? If they win, it's even better. But I think you need to look at the 11 horse Sierra Leone, who, look, this horse has been kind of beat up a little bit during the summer. It's always seemed to have trouble, but you get Flavian Pratt now on this horse at Del Mar. The horse's speed figures actually have been going up steadily throughout the summer. But I think the way this race plays out, there should be a good bit of speed in here with Arthur's Ride and Fierceness and some other horses. I think Sierra Leone has a great chance, and I would have loved Forever Young in this race, but I worry about draw with the rail and having some kickback and maybe kind of getting stuck in between horses and not being able to get a clear run. I think Forever Young potentially could be the best horse in this race, even with the presence of City of Troy, but I just don't know if the trip is going to work out for him tomorrow. But I still will hesitantly use him, but I'm liking Sierra Leone for whatever reason more and more, along with my buddy's horse, Newgate.
We'll have all of Chris's plays up over on VSiN.com as well to make sure. I know it's a lot to take in if you're driving in your car, yeah. But yes, this is great. We'll have all of that up over at VSiN.com. Let's get to the Fox, New York, y'all's game here, Ohio mm-hmm. State and Penn State, biggest game of the week. As we sit right now, Chris, looking at about a 3 and about a 46.5 on the total. What do you think about this one?
I laid the 3 with Ohio State. I think there's a little bit of an overreaction to what we saw last week in that close win against Nebraska. You think back, college football is such a cyclical, emotional week by week where you're not going to get the same performance from the same team twice. Look, think back to, I guess it was September when they played, when Georgia went to Lexington and nearly lost to Kentucky, and I think Kentucky's won one game since then. They were terrible that night. And when you see a couple weeks ago, Georgia goes to Texas and plays a fantastic game and blows out a team that was ranked number one in the country. So, I do think the Ohio State offensive line is a little bit of a trouble, but I think we're going to see a little bit of a different scheme, a little bit of a different game plan from Ohio State tomorrow. I think you're probably going to see more than one target from Jeremiah Smith in the second half. And I think you're going to see a lot more Will Howard quarterback run to maybe elude the get out of that pocket and get him on the move to kind of mask some of those offensive line problems. And I think coinciding with that, the kind of the correlated play with Ohio State trying to eat up the clock a little bit will be a Penn State team total of under 20.5. I know Giraller is likely going to play now, but I think Ohio State getting Langham Ransom back in the secondary, the targeting call, that bad targeting call was reversed. So they're going to be at full strength, I think, defensively. And I would expect them to be in the Penn State backfield, really limit the running game and force Drew Aller to beat them. So I like Ohio State minus the 3, and I did play the under 20.5 Penn State team total. I'm sure that's going to go over really well tomorrow on the air here.
Let me tell you, I love whenever we get the 9 a.m. games out here on the West Coast, man. Wake up, get the biggest game going, ready to rock and roll, ready to kick the day in the teeth.
Absolutely. Chris, what's the hotel chain this week in Happy Valley? How is it?
I'm not an expert, but I did stay at a Holiday Inn Express last night.
Oh, there we go. He is Chris Blake.
Actually, it's very new and quite comfortable. Huge room. So, yeah, I'm quite happy with the accommodations. It's definitely moving up the ranks of hotel chains on the road.
You sound like you are in a big room right there. I am.
I'm refreshed.
Yeah,
I'm not a handicapped expert, but I did stay at a Holiday Inn.
Catch him on Fox Sports, the Bear Bets podcast, as well, at Chris Felica. Appreciate the time and good luck.
Take care, guys. Have a great weekend.
When we come back, let's continue on talking some NFL here in week number 9.